Our next speaker, changing fields here, is Dr. Oleg Muravov, who is he holds a medical doctor degree in emergency and occupational medicine and a PhD in epidemiology. And for 20 years, he's been working at the Federal Agency for Toxic Substances and Disease Registry as a senior science fellow and recently as a medical epidemiologist. As a principal investigator for 24 health studies investigating links between environmental and occupational exposures to toxic substances and radiation in various cancers, pulmonary, and neurological diseases. He currently is PI for all of ATSDR's National Amyotrophic Lateral Sclerosis, ALS, registry, and MS surveillance-related projects. So today he's going to be speaking on evaluating the feasibility of a national multiple sclerosis surveillance system. Did this skip your first slide?
Thank you, Casey. It's my pleasure to brief you on our recently completed project, which was a pilot project to assess the usefulness of existing national administrative databases in development of a national surveillance system for multiple sclerosis. So what is multiple sclerosis? It's a neurological condition of an autoimmune nature. Pathologically, we find that MS patients have damage, and particularly inflammation, to the myelin sheath, which is a protective covering that nerve cells have. And this results in nerve impulses slowing down substantially or even completely stopping. It's more prevalent in females. So MS is not a reportable disease. As many of you know, among non-infectious diseases, only cancer, except skin cancer, is a reportable condition in the United States. Therefore, we get data from some existing sources, including but not limited to the National Health Interview Survey, about incidence, prevalence, and mortality from the MS. And we see substantial range with regard to incidence of MS from 1 to 2 to 10. And with regard to mortality, we see even wider range from 10 to 160 reported from different sources. So obviously, getting incidence even harder because it requires a substantial size of cohort of MS patients being followed up for numerous years, which is very expensive and difficult to conduct. So because there is a lack of reliable incidence and prevalence, and I should say mortality rates by geographical area as well as nationwide, and because of limitations I just mentioned, our agency, Agency of Toxic Substances and Disease Registry, which is a sister agency of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, we are located in Atlanta, Georgia as well. We have the same director. And even so, our primary goal is to evaluate link between exposure to environmental and occupational toxic substances and radiation and a variety of diseases. We also have expertise in registries and surveillance. That's why back in 2002, we held an expert panel to develop a methodology to establish national surveillance systems and registries for selected neurological and autoimmune conditions. And it was decided that we need to start with the multiple sclerosis and amyotrophic lateral sclerosis. And some of you might have heard presentation by Dr. Horton on Monday when he spoke about congressionally mandated amyotrophic lateral sclerosis national registry. So we use the same methodology, and we actually even prior to that meeting, ATSDR funded six states to conduct prevalence analysis in some geographical areas, primarily in those areas where some multiple sclerosis clusters were suspected. So one of the outcome from those analysis wasn't actually that new. We found out that getting data directly from healthcare providers is difficult, very time-consuming, expensive, and in many cases, neurologists do not give you access to their medical records. Therefore, we designed a pilot to evaluate the feasibility of developing a national multiple sclerosis surveillance system by using existing national administrative data sets and looking whether they can be used to develop a comprehensive database of people with MS. So our first goal was to identify existing national databases which collect information on patients using ICD-9 codes. And we identified two databases within the Veterans Administration, Veterans Health Administration, or VHA, and Veterans Benefits Administration, or VBA. Also, CMS, or Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services, turned to be a good source of information on MS patients. And finally, the National MS Society kindly provided us a complete list of their patients. Basically, it was a database of mailing addresses of people who were receiving information from MS Society on a regular basis. And then we identified two pilot sites. And the first one is the only available national MS registry, which is a self-enrolled registry called North American Research Committee on MS, or NARCOMS. And then we contacted and received agreement and willingness to work with us from the hospital-based New York State MS Consortium, which is a group of 16 hospitals located all over the state of New York. And 11 of those hospitals managed to get their local IRB approval and got involved in our pilot. So our next step was to find MS patients from the state of New York in those national databases I just listed. And we used ICD-9 code 340 for the time period from 2001 to 2005. We realized that not every patient listed under this code may be a true MS patient. So we wanted to find true MS cases by comparing cases from those national databases and the NARCOMS with the neurologist-confirmed cases from the New York State MS Consortium. And our next step was to develop algorithms to identify the best data elements that represent true cases of MS in those national data sets. And our final step was to actually apply algorithms to those national administrative databases to identify every true MS patient. We did realize that because of some eligibility requirements, not all MS cases will be found nationwide. So with regard to preliminary results, we found a substantial number of MS cases by ICD-9 code in each of the national database. And this graph represents the first step of matching of hospitally confirmed MS cases, which is actually blue areas down here, in every national data set. And we found out that self-enrolled national MS registry has the highest percentage of matching cases with the with those shown in New York database. However, NARCOMS does not collect comprehensive information on either doctor's visits or pharmacy, and therefore we looked at the most comprehensive database, which turned to be CMS, and particularly Medicare gave us highest percentage of matching with the medically confirmed cases from New York among all databases. So we looked in how many databases cases confirmed by neurologists in those 11 New York hospitals appeared in national administrative databases, and we found out that 79% of medical confirmed cases appeared in at least one database. Next step was to look at various algorithms to represent true MS cases. And for instance, and this is just examples of a few efforts, few algorithms. You can see that, for instance, having an MS diagnosis for 2 or more years in either CMS, primarily Medicare, or Veterans Health Administration gives us reasonable sensitivity and specificity. When we looked at presence of diagnosis in Veterans Health Administration plus either Veterans Benefits Administration or VA pharmacy, our specificity was substantially higher. However, sensitivity dropped substantially down. This is just another example of algorithms we tried. We managed to improve our sensitivity. However, specificity was low. The same as in this example. So, obviously we knew that, even before we started this project, that various data sets have different structures, and data they collect and data they can provide vary substantially, and in many cases were inconsistent. And as mentioned, not all MS cases could be found in either of these national databases because of eligibility requirements. However, obviously using existing administrative national data sets is an efficient way, and it decreases the costs. Also, it decreases reporting bias. And as I showed you a couple slides ago, combining data on medical services and medications increases the specificity of case identification. So in conclusion, our preliminary results show that existing administrative national data sets may be used to establish a national MS surveillance system. And it is obvious that we need to work further to improve our specific algorithms so that we get higher accuracy of getting true MS cases from the national data sets. At the same time, as those of you who attended presentation this Monday on the congressionally mandated ALS, national ALS registry. We managed to develop a web portal which is hosted on a secure CDC website where patients, ALS patients can come and self-register and also complete some risk factor surveys. And this is something that we are looking forward in case we get additional funding, which we don't for this at this point for MS. Thank you. Any questions, please? Yes. It's an excellent question. Again, I need to refer you to our primary current project in this area, in area of neurological conditions, for which we develop a national registry, Lou Gehrig National Registry, or ALS registry. Unlike with regard to ALS, we did not receive sufficient data elements from either of the national data sets. And as mentioned, we saw substantial inconsistency in getting this information. Another major point was that because of local IRB policies, those hospitals in the state of New York have, we could not receive identifiable data from them. They literally only, even so, we gave them completely identifiable data from each of the national data sets, two from VA, two from Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, and National MS Society. And so they were able to, as well as from the self-enrolled National MS Registry, and so they were able to match those cases case by case, by because of their IRB policies, they could not give us any data. We only received spreadsheet which showed in how many databases each case appeared, and they actually gave our specific ID. So we did not have ability to see which case appeared in which database. So we were very limited with regard to what we can do with this particular pilot data.
Other questions? So I have a question. Do you think, it's sort of related to this question, do you think that there is a bias if you have high specificity but low sensitivity? Are you the cases that you're detecting, are you systematically excluding some, or are they representative?
It's a great point. We probably need more information to be able to answer this question, and this is what we've been struggling with because of that issue. We, as I mentioned, we could not receive, unlike with ALS, we completed four pilots for ALS at the same time we completed two for MS, and we didn't have that limitation of not being able to actually see which case from medically confirmed local database appeared in each of the national data set. So we're probably missing some people, not intentionally, but this is just reality of world we're working with.
Another question?
Yeah, well, this actually addresses your question and your answer. It does seem to me that at this juncture in time, and expecting your efforts, that sounds to me very worthy efforts to protect individual patients are impeding certain kinds of research which depend
Yeah, absolutely. But there is nothing we can do, unfortunately.
Yeah. It's a balance.
It is a balance.
Yeah. And I need to mention that researchers from the New York State MS Consortium were willing to go extra mile to get RBs to understand the importance of this effort. However, as I mentioned, out of 16 hospitals, only 11 were able to participate, even in this limited approach.